Glory to God. Aren't you glad he's yours? Amen. Would you please stand? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Amen. If you'd turn to the book of James, the fifth chapter. James chapter 5, verse number 19, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." We're talking about heaven's business here. Nothing could be more important than us converting somebody who isn't ready to meet God to be in a position where they are ready to meet God. Nothing on the face of the earth could be more important than that. And then 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. First Timothy 4 and verse number 16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine," the teaching. "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So if we stay with the doctrine, we stay with the truth, not only are we going to save our souls, but we're also going to save those who hear us. And that means that somehow we need to speak what we believe in. And then one last scripture in the book of Jude. If we could keep the screen down this morning, I want to use a few scriptures. The book of Jude and verse number 22, it says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by flesh." So what we're doing is we're pulling people out of a fire. If the church is anything, it's firefighters, it's firemen. We're pulling people out of a damnable eternity and saying, "We hate what you're doing, but we want to save you from the fire." That's what it's saying. It goes on to say, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." And I wonder how related that is to us pulling somebody out of the fire. You know, and as we're in the process of helping and teaching somebody, we're saving ourselves, like it said in 1 Timothy 4 and 16. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for writing it down. Thank you for preserving it, God. And Lord, we're just going to stand on it. We're going to believe it, and we're going to exercise it. We ask your anointing and blessing upon it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Good to see everyone here. Amen. Good to see Brother Rozecki in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. How many here are adults? For those of you that have not raised your hands, how many want to be an adult someday? There's been a real problem with me wanting to grow up, but I'm slowly maturing. I went to a family memorial yesterday, and they asked me to say some things. The first thing I said is, "You people have really gotten old, you know." It's a process that we go through, but sometimes in our older years, we think that some of the processes that we did when we were younger are no longer available to us and that's not always true. I want to talk to you about some very adult subjects this morning, the birds and the bees. Now, spring is in the air, and there's an old saying that a man's fancy turns to love when there's spring in the air. And I wonder if it isn't true about our God. The greatest revivals happen in the spring. That's when the lambs were born. If there was ever a time for a revival, it's in the springtime. And because you're so mature, I believe that you can handle the subject matter this morning. First of all, how many ladies here have had children? Would you raise your hand? Look at that. Maybe I don't need to teach on the birds and the bees. Glory to God. Amen. All right, now let's get to where it really is complicated. How many men here have had a baby? Come on. I'm talking about spiritual babies. Amen. Here's what it says. Deuteronomy 7 and 14 says, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people." This is coming into the promised land. It's a shadow and type of coming into the church. And it says in Deuteronomy 7, 14, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren or incapable of producing an offspring among you or among your cattle." In other words, as you produce men and women, well, cattle was the finances of the day. God's saying, I'll tell you what, you start talking to souls, you start snatching them out of the fire, you know what's going to happen? Not only are you going to feel better, not only are you going to be more spiritual, but God is going to bless you financially as well. Take a look at Genesis chapter 9. This is where Noah is just coming off of the ark, and it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." It also says that in the first chapter of Genesis, where when God created all of what he created, he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so those commandments were given to those in the Old Testament in order to produce after their own kind. You know, another denomination can't produce after what we are. The only one who can produce after its own kind is those who have enough truth about the Lord. And then if you'll find Matthew 28, God hasn't changed his mind about it. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 19, very familiar scripture to most of us. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." Again, when we're doing what God wants us to do, and lo, I am with you always. I'm with you on the freeway. I'm with you on the job. I'm with you in the hospital. Why? Because you are fruitful and you are replenishing. You are producing, male and female, obligated in order to produce. There are many shadows and types comparing the natural to the spiritual, and God compares the natural rain to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There was a former rain and there's a latter rain. The former rain was the upper room. The latter rain is happening right now. There's a former rain in the natural. In November, we find rain comes. But then in April brings rain. And it's more in abundance than it was in November because it's the latter rain and greater things are going to happen. We are the generation that is going to have a deluge of God's Spirit pouring upon us. God compares the natural rain, but he also compares the farmer planting his seed to the spreading of God's word. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may seed, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I have sent." When we open our mouth, when we tell people about the Word of God, if you just don't see any growth immediately, you don't dig up the seed, but you have faith to believe what God said, it will not return unto me void. I taught a Bible study Tuesday night, and again, anybody who wants to be a part of that Bible study, 7 o'clock in my home on Tuesday night. But I taught a Bible study, and Ben was in the Bible study, and I asked Ben what he did for a living. He said, "Well, I work for UPS. And I said, "Oh, about a year ago, I taught a young man in this very living room, and he works for UPS. His name is Burton." And Ben says, "Oh yeah, I talked to Burton today. I'm his supervisor." So what is God doing? Where we can't, you see, my word will not return unto me void. God has a plan that is beyond what you can possibly imagine in order to save people. And most of us are the greatest miracles that you will ever see. Jesus compares the natural birth with the spiritual birth. And I know you've heard that over the years, but it is so significant. We need to have a revival of births. This needs to be a maternity ward for those that are going to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. So if you'll go to John, the third chapter. By the way, I've read this scripture before. Amen. But we've sung some songs today that we sang before, and they have blessed you. And there may be somebody in here who has never read this scripture. I remember sitting in a Pentecostal church when somebody read this scripture and tears dropping on my Bible because it was so significant to me. And maybe there was somebody in that church at that time thinking, "Oh, not that again." You see? Sometimes I say some things from this pulpit before the service starts or during the service, and you know what? They're not for you. They're for somebody who has never experienced Pentecost before, because I'm more concerned about them than those of you who have been around for 30 or 40 years. So the third chapter, verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee of the Pharisees, saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You know, I've heard every rendition of this scripture. Well, it's when the water breaks for the mother, and so he wasn't talking about baptism at all. Well, he clarifies that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. They're two different things, but they parallel each other. It seems that everything that happens in the natural body also happens in the spiritual body. We take in food and we grow. We mature both in the flesh and in the spirit. If you're in the church for 20 years and you're still in second grade, there's something wrong with you. You see? There's something wrong in the physical if you're just not growing. Someone needs to take a look. We can get sick physically, and we can get sick spiritually. You know, there are symptoms of spiritual sickness. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to read my Bible. That's a sickness, just like there's a sickness. You need an antidote for it. It's the Word of God. It's worship. It's the Spirit of God. He's a great physician, more in the spirit than he is in the physical, because the spirit is more important than the physical. We die physically, but we can also die a spiritual death, just like Adam and Eve died a spiritual death when they sinned. But there is one area that follows an uncanny parable, and that is having a baby naturally and having a baby spiritually. Every stage of the birth process is almost identical, giving the church a vivid picture of what we should expect with a spiritual birth. And when we are doing what comes natural, having revival, then God blesses and there is joy in the house. You know, I see these mothers holding those babies and showing those babies off, and there's a gathering of people around the baby to take a look at the baby, and every one of them is absolutely gorgeous, you know. To God, every time someone is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, church, we need to hold on to that baby. We need to fuss over that baby. We need to see the beauty that God sees in that baby. I don't care what stage it's at, you know. Hallelujah. You know, when our kids were born, we brought them home and we laid them in a real soft place, told them where the refrigerator was, you know, and now let's go on and have more babies. No, that's not what the church does. There's a maturing. There has to be somebody who's saying, come on with me. Why don't you have some fellowship with me? Why don't we invest ourselves in your life to see you grow up to be something that God can really use? Hallelujah. Now, we need to learn about the birds and the bees at home, not on the street. Amen. This is the only place you can learn about the birds and the bees, because outside these walls, they haven't got a clue about the birds and the bees. In fact, you can't get this information on the street. It is only taught in the true church of the living God. Even most denominational churches don't have an understanding of the facts of life. They really don't. Or they roll their eyes and say, that's not important. And as a result, they have a misconception that you can be born again without some process of a natural gestation and birth. I don't want to shock anyone here, but babies don't come by shaking hands with someone. Oh, come on and get saved and shake the hand of the preacher. Oh, that was a simple pregnancy, you know? Glory to God. Some of these ladies could testify that that just didn't happen. No, the same process has to occur in the spiritual as in the natural. Ever wonder why our 1 and 2 day Bible studies really don't work? I mean, I've been around, they got the 1 day and they got the 2 day Bible studies. They got the Bible study in a bag. It's kind of a little lunch kind of thing. And you give it to them, and then, wow, wonder why they didn't come into the church? Well, you don't have 1 or 2 day pregnancies. You know, it just doesn't happen. They aren't effective. Pregnancy takes longer than 1 or 2 days. Generally, it's at least a 12-week Bible study. It could be even longer for some. It took me about 3 months in order to be born of the Spirit. Just a side note, did you know that an elephant has a 20-month pregnancy? Of course, he brings a trunk with him. This side is much smarter than this side over here. You are a result of an intimate experience between two people. No one here is born any other way. We are a result of an intimate relationship between the church, which is the mother, and God, who is the Father. And that's why we put so much emphasis on a worship service, because it is the most intimate part of church. And if you want revival in church, you have to have some kind of relationship, some kind of song service, sometimes where God reaches down from heaven and touches us, and then the word becomes implanted within us, and there is a consummation that begins to grow and grow and grow. I determined after that first service in a Pentecostal church, I wasn't coming back. And then I came back. And then I determined, I'm not coming to Sunday night service. And then I came to a Sunday night service. Wednesdays, well, I'm busy at the office. And then all of a sudden I decided, you know what, I need more of God. And then I decided, you know what, early morning prayer would be a good idea. You see, I'm growing. So what is the process of the progression in the natural pregnancy and in the spiritual? Man sees woman, man likes what he sees, and man calls for a date. And she either says yes or no. Glory to God. I haven't made a whole lot of those phone calls. But God sees woman. He sees something within the heart of man. And he makes a call, sets up a date, and there's an experience. She first needs to know all about him.
Right.
Amen. You go on your first date and you don't care what goes on in the other person's life. I don't want to know anything about you. You know, I don't think that's going to develop into a marriage. You can't just walk into a church, hear a little sermon, care less where it came from or who said it. But when you really are touched by the presence of God, all of a sudden you want to know more and more about who touched you, you see. The word is a seed that is planted into the heart of those to be in the church. There is a growing of that fetus in the womb of the church, and the person who is about to be born again feels a stirring inside of them, a hunger for something more, an experience like they have never had before. Ever see people who are in love walk around? You just don't want to drive with them, you know? I mean, they're dangerous because all they're thinking about is that person that they want to be with. Because the mother, the home Bible study teacher, is giving the baby the proper nourishment over and over again. The proper nourishment comes over this pulpit over and over again. They say that in those months of pregnancy, there are prenatal vitamins, and you really need to eat properly. Did you know that a natural baby has developed its taste buds at 7 weeks before they ever have arms or legs? What is God?
Amen.
What's God saying? There's a conception, and they're really more interested in tasting than doing anything else as a fetus, someone who's in the womb. Now there comes a time when the baby can't stay in the womb any longer.
Right.
Hallelujah. And then the first thing that happens is the water breaks. And I have been there when they have broken the water in baptism over and over again. It's a parallel between the natural and the spiritual. We immediately give that baby a name when they break the water, and we put that name Jesus upon them, and it will always be with them. And aren't you glad that we have such a nice delivery room? Isn't this a beautiful place to have a baby? Now, you can have a baby in a car, and you can have a baby at home, and you can have a baby in a rice paddy, but this is a really a much better place to have a baby. And the reason it's so much nicer is because we have midwives here, and we have physicians within the Word that can help, you know. You know, here's what God wants you to do. You know, there's a time when you have to push through in order to get the Spirit. It's not just, okay, if it happens, it happens. And there's even an anesthetic that God applies. But once the water is broken, it's not long before you hear the baby cry. That is when they take in their first breath of life. That's what the doctor is looking for. That's what the mother is looking for. The word Holy Ghost literally means holy breath or God's breath. And when someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, it's taking in the breath of God, and when the breath of God comes in, then it's the first time you're able to use the language that God has given you. It's like the baby, the first time they ever speak or make an utterance is after they take that first breath in. It's not a matter of raising your hand, repeating the sinner's prayer. It's the same as the natural birth. The baby. Hallelujah. Amen. They used to take the baby and spank them. They don't do that anymore. They massage the baby. I've seen that happen up here. You know, people massaging someone. Yes, yes, yes. Let God touch you, you know. It's midwives who understand the birthing process. You know what? If you've never had a baby, you don't know what to say to somebody who's about to have a baby.
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost, the breath of God. Let me caution you not to break the water before the baby is fully developed. You know, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Well, why? Well, somebody said I should be. Wrong. I'm sorry. You know, that's a premature baby. And the baby won't survive if it's premature. Our son was born at 2 pounds. I visited, they said he wouldn't live. I visited him every day for 3 months while he was in an incubator. And he was the smallest baby ever born in Milwaukee. That was a boy that survived. And we just didn't think he would survive. Many of those babies, they're blind because they give them oxygen, and the oxygen attacks the eyes, and so the rest of their life, even though they survive, they can't see. It's so important to bring them to term, you know, before they're born. Now, can I just say a couple things about the pregnancy? Church, we will be a little uncomfortable because of the pregnancy. There is a discomfort and inconvenience when you are about to have a baby. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All the women, I didn't hear one man. Backaches. Strange appetite. A burden. I can't sleep. I can't roll over. Awakened in the middle of the night. And you wonder, when is this going to be over? I heard. I didn't experience. A little extra weight. And I've experienced it in the spirit, not in the natural. Teach people, fast for them. Give them the word, rub their back, love them, hug them, hoping that they'll come home, that they'll make the right decision. And frankly, it's not the most comfortable position. I could just say, I got mine, get yours. But why do you have children? Because you really want somebody to kind of look like you and act like you and care about you more than anybody else in this world. And I'll tell you, there isn't anybody that'll care for you more than somebody you taught a Bible study to or brought to church, because they recognize the value there is in being born again. Hallelujah. If you want to be a good mother, you eat right. You get the proper spiritual food. You avoid things that will harm the baby and even you. Tobacco and alcohol and drugs. Or your spiritual baby could be stillborn, premature, a possible miscarriage, or even sudden death syndrome. And I've experienced all of those in the spirit. Why didn't you come back? You had this incredible experience. Why didn't you come back? Sudden death syndrome. Did you know that during the pregnancy, the mother's heart rate increases 15 beats per minute? And the amount of blood to the heart increases 30 to 50% above what is normal. So the mother's heart is beating faster and there is more blood flow to the entire body. I don't know of anybody who's been in the process of a spiritual birth with somebody else who I've got to beg to come to church or beg to do what's right, because their heartbeat is with God and there is a flow of blood to them. The resistance of blood flow in the arteries decreases during the pregnancy, that'll preach, and the heart itself gradually gets bigger and bigger in size during the pregnancy. You have a greater intensity for the things of God because you're about to give birth and still functions normally. Doctors are studying the pregnant woman's heart to somehow help people who have heart problems. Have a bad heart? Just get pregnant. Now, in recent years, ectopic pregnancies have become more common. Ectopic means out of place. An ectopic pregnancy is when a baby starts growing anywhere except in the womb. Such as the fallopian tube, there's not enough room to expand for the baby, and so the baby will die. It generally results in the death of the baby and serious injury to the mother. The womb is the only place where the baby can properly mature and grow. The church is the only place that the baby can properly grow. You can't grow outside of the womb or the body of believers. I can't tell you how many times I've said to somebody I've baptized in Jesus' name, I said, you're a member of this body. You're like the little finger, but if the finger is cut off, the body will hurt, but the finger will not survive because it's not getting what the body can supply to it. You can't, just because you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't survive outside of the church. It just is not going to work. Get me to God. Get me to God. Get me to church. I'm not feeling well. Well, I know where you can go. Hallelujah. People can't be born outside of the womb of the church and still continue to grow and experience the things of life. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to Genesis, the third chapter? Genesis 3 and 15. So we have the curse because of the sin in the garden, and first in the curse is the serpent, and then it's the woman, And it says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What happens is the ministry that Satan had was now given to the woman, the covering ministry. The worship ministry, it seems like it's so much easier for women to worship than it is for men. And you're going to have some trouble because the ministry that he so valued is now given to every woman that's in the church. But then it goes on to say, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So there's three parts to that curse. First of all, there's morning sickness in conception, problems. And then there's the birth process where, there's some pain. And then there is the, you know what, I want to rule. No, I'm sorry, that's not the way God has planned it, because the woman represents the church, the man represents God. That's just the way it is. Some new people make me sick. It's true. Please come to church. Please, you know, if you would only. Yes, there will be problems with your flesh. There's no question. Doctors say that few women go through pregnancy without some kind of nausea or vomiting, but studies have shown that it is just a part of a healthy pregnancy. Birth weights of babies born to women who have gone through morning sickness are higher than those who have not had morning sickness. And the sicker she gets, the healthier the baby, according to studies. Some Bible studies are like pulling teeth. Well, I don't understand why is this one so hard. Well, did you expect really that there was going to be no fuss, no muss, no problems, no in the pregnancy? No, you expected it's going to be, and God's saying, step up. What is also amazing is that the baby's blood becomes the blood type of the father, and the baby's growing in the mother. Isn't it amazing during the pregnancy in the spiritual that all of a sudden we take on the blood of Jesus Christ before we are born while in the womb. Now, the pregnancy always starts with an intimate experience. Amen. An intimate experience with God. Amen. Brother Lehman said 10 years ago, he was here at the church doing a faith promise, and he said, it was really the first church that I've ever experienced people coming to the altar during worship service. He said, I was just amazed. Now, there are more churches who are doing the same thing. But what it is it's a desire, and I know not everybody comes to the altar, but it is a desire to get closer to God. It is his desire to have an intimate relationship with the one who has saved us. Some people would like you to believe that it is a shame to have an association with a marital relation. How can you worship that way? God doesn't need you to be so emotional. There is nothing worse than a barren church. There are churches, even within our ranks, that there are people there, but they're all older people because there's no new people coming in. You know, I said this a few months ago. A woman on the plane said, does your church have a lot of kids? Yeah. You know, do they sometimes wreck the building? Yeah. Are they loud? Yeah. And then she said, oh, I wish our church had kids. Oh, I wish our church had new babies. Because that's where the life is, folks. Would you turn to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter? Verse number 12. The Ark of the Covenant is coming back. Verse number 12 says, "And it was told David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obadiah and all that pertaineth unto him, because the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obadiah into the city of David with gladness. Amen. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces or 18 feet, he sacrificed an oxen fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." You'll find when they all started to bring in the presence of God with shouting. "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, who was married to David, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle and David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts." Every time I pray for an offering, I'm blessing the people of God. We have brought an offering, and now we're asking God, bless, would you bless, would you multiply? Amen. "And he dealt among all of the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all of the people departed, everyone to his house. When they left, they were full." They weren't thirsty anymore because they had danced before the Lord. They had shouted before the Lord. They were satisfied. Amen. "Then David returned to bless his house. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaiden of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before Amen. The Lord, which chose me Amen. Before thy father and before all of the house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and I will be based in my own sight and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." I tell you what, don't ever criticize what we do here because it's before the Lord. We are playing before the Lord. I say things many times, repeat things, but there's a purpose. When we were in Nigeria, and Sister Jenkins knows, she's been there many times, I was on the platform at a Bible graduation, a Bible school graduation, and there were probably 350, 400 people there, and the worship service started. There was one drum, a guitar with maybe 3 strings, and they started worshiping. And everybody got up, and everybody started moving and dancing before the Lord and dancing with each other. And I never experienced anything like that. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, really? This is different than I've ever experienced before. And immediately God spoke to me and said, they're playing before me like little children. And there was such a presence of God that moved. And Jesus said, except you become as one of these. And you want to play, this is a playground, folks, for Jesus Christ. This is a place where we could just, oh God, this is so wonderful. I just love to be with you. But in the process of that intimacy, there is a conception. There's new births that happen. That's why churches who love worship are the churches that are growing. Because there is an intimacy that happens. It is my right to enjoy an intimate relationship with the God that I love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can even do it outside this building. In fact, it is the reason for Calvary. Samuel's mother, Hannah, travailed before the Lord because she couldn't have children. And she got to the place where she said, either give me your son or give me death. One day, we're going to fly away, folks. And I just read that it's perfectly safe to fly during your pregnancy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. There have been people who have spent thousands and thousands of dollars in order to get pregnant. And every time I think about this, I think about Art and Maureen, how they wanted a child for, 12 years? 14 years. And one day they came up to the altar and they were prayed for. And God said, I'm going to give you a child. And sure enough, it happened. You may have been in the church for a lot of years, and yet there's not one person that's here because of you. Well, it's not too late. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars. All you have to do is open your mouth and have an intimate relationship with God. The fact of the matter is, you know, two people get married, and it's a wonderful relationship. We were married for 8 years before we ever had children. But once you have children, it literally brings you closer together as a husband and wife because you're always concerned about the children that you have. You walk in here, you've taught somebody a Bible study, and someone walks in for the first time, and they raise their hand in worship. And you say, Did you see? They raised their hand. Did you see? They walked to the altar for the first time all by themselves. 53 years old, and they walked all by themselves to the altar. You see? Because you have something in common now. You're not just coming to church in order to get your goodie bag and walk out of here. You have an investment in other people within the church. And you know what? You have children. You don't walk away from the marriage. If you don't, I can find something else. Last scripture, if the musicians would come. Psalms 127. Psalms 127 and verse number 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. Someone told me that a quiverful is five, and so those of you who don't have five kids, you still need to get going in order to get your quiverful. I'm not talking about the natural birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. Wouldn't it be incredible if everyone had a quiverful of spiritual babies? Hallelujah. Hey, enemy, too bad. My kids are right here, and they're staying with me. Hallelujah. Get pregnant. That's an order. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? The altar is open. Would you come?